guys, we'll start with the broadcast section with the Bible, followed by an embargo section at 10:30 p.m. tonight. No live tweets in the broadcast section. Please use the microphone. Michael.
Hi, Ange.
Hello, mate.
I know players are coming in a bit late. Is there any update on Son in particular or any more injury news?
No, nothing really. Sort of the last update I got was late last night, and he was a bit sore after the game, obviously. The extent of it, we kind of need to see how he recovers today. There was a couple of others with some knocks, but I don't think anything else significant.
It's obviously a tough night last night, but it was a brilliant start. Is there a sort of a message? There's going to be difficult periods. You've only had one transfer window. This is just the beginning for you here.
Yeah, but I think I've been consistent in saying that when things were going well. But you know, I don't think it was a brilliant start. A brilliant start would have been last night, like I said in other games, is to take advantage of the dominance we have in games, and we're not, and it's keeping the oppositions in the game, and especially in the second half, we had a couple of defensive lapses, which a team like West Ham will always punish you. So, the football, for it to be brilliant, it's got to be there in its entirety. And, I don't know how many times I've said here, I still think our front third, we've got a lot of work to do. And unfortunately, that's costing us at the moment in terms of results. But, that's the challenge for us. We've got to keep, pushing on and trying to become better in those areas.
Can I just get confirmation that the club have rejected an approach from Swansea for Chris Davis? Obviously, it's a potentially exciting role, but it looks like he might be staying here then.
No, look, I've just had a brief discussion with Chris, and he knows we've got a busy week, so we're all focused on that. And look, he's an outstanding individual. He's done some great work with us. He's done great work in the past, and it's not surprising to me that whether it's Swansea or other clubs would look at him. And it's what you want, to be honest. You want good people, and when you've got good people, they're going to attract attention. And from my perspective, whatever that sort of transpires to, it's very much in Chris's hands in terms of his decision, what he wants to do moving forward, and then obviously the club will deal with it from there.
Hi, Ange. Obviously, the last five games might not have gone as you would have wanted, but overall, after 15 games, where do you think things are at? Where do you feel?
We're where I said all along, we're at the beginnings of trying to build something, and a lot of it is, I think there's been progress made for sure in many areas. Other areas we still need to do a lot of work in. We've obviously had some challenges within that time frame of, injuries, which have disrupted our sort of ability to have a consistent lineup out there and players out there who had started the season well and were very influential. So with all that context, but that happens to every football club, and we just got to work our way through this difficult period. But as I said, we're still at the beginnings of what we're trying to build.
Christian Romero returned last night. Almost looked like he hadn't been away. How did you view his performance and also as part of that leadership group as well?
Yeah, I thought Christian was good last night. He obviously tired towards the end a bit, but he gave everything. It was good to get him back in the lineup. He gives us a certain security back there, and also he is one of these, like I said, as a leader, strong figure out there, which we're going to need through this period, because we're obviously still got some tough times ahead, and with guys like him will help steer us through that.
And just lastly, Newcastle, obviously on Sunday, they've struggled a lot away from home this season, certainly more than they did last season. Is there anything that you've seen in their performance as to why they might be performing differently away from home?
No, but it's fair to say Newcastle probably the only other club that have gone through anything like we have from an injury perspective, and that's going to affect every club. And I think they've actually battled through reasonably well, very well actually, considering the amount of disruptions they've had to their first team squad and the challenges they've had. And I think any club in the Premier League that goes through that sort of period will find it hard to get a consistency in results. But it'll be a tough game on Sunday for us, because again, they've got a team that do have goal threats, and they work hard as a unit, and we've got to be able to match that.
You mentioned about the front players, and that's still an area that's got to work on. Obviously, you've mentioned previously about Kulusevski and Johnson wanting to get more goals out of them. I mean, how is that something you coach into players? Is it about movement, positioning, or all of the above?
Yeah, it's all of it. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, Brennan's 22. I mean, he's still sort of learning the game in many respects, and you know, it's a big move for him. Kulusevski, similar, you know, he needs to sort of develop that side of the game, but it's like anything else, you just got to keep working at it, and it's not just them, it's us as a team. You know, the opportunities just didn't fall for them last night. It was other players in those areas, and like I said, we lack some real conviction, as we have in previous games. I think from the start of the season, though, I don't think we've rewarded our dominance with, you know, goals. Even in the games we've won, we haven't really converted the opportunities or created the chances that our play should have. So as I said, that's still the area where we've got a hell of a lot of work to do.
Obviously with that conviction and creativity as well, would that be an area maybe in January to look to bring in someone with that kind of those attributes?
Well, it's not easy because, again, you know, you, when you're talking about the finished product, you know what that's going to cost in the market, and there aren't that many there. So, no, it's about developing our players here and giving them more sort of information and more room for them to continue to grow and understand the different options they have, you know, in those kind of areas. And some of it's just, like I said, experience of them being in those positions and us giving him the information to execute better the next time.
And just on Chris Davies briefly, obviously he's done fantastic work for you so far this season, but with your experience of going into clubs, bringing in new coaches each time, does it make it easier to absorb a departure or not?
Yeah, I've always been relaxed. I mean, I've said in the past, I think it's part of my role to develop staff. I mean, I'm really proud of the fact that a lot of the guys I've worked with, the reason they're not with me as assistants are because they're senior managers in their own right. So I never, if you're looking for things that are going to be disruptive, and you can use that as a clutch and excuse for anything. You know, we lost Harry Kane the day before the season started. You know, there's a disruption. We've lost half a squad after one game. There's a disruption. If you let these things, there's always going to be, you can't work in a vacuum where everything is perfect. And for me, I've been relaxed in these kind of situations because I always believe that the environment will cover whatever sort of challenges we have if we get it right.
So very quickly, Lo Celso, when he came off last night, was that just tiredness or did he have a knock or anything, or just tactical?
No, just sort of tactical. I just thought we needed some more legs in the midfield and try to change things up a little bit.
Tim, please.
Ange, in terms of returning players, is this pretty much it until the new year now, or are there some coming back?
No, I think that's it. I mean, we obviously we got Pepe a few minutes last night, and my understanding, him and Richie both sort of reported they're okay, but there won't be anyone else coming back between sort of now and the new year.
You mentioned a few weeks ago how good training was and how fringe players were really pushing the first 11. With the amount of players you got out, does that naturally suffer in training, or are the levels still as you want?
No, we're still sort of maintaining those levels. I still think our training's been good. It's had to get supplemented by younger guys coming in, so that sort of changes the dynamic a little bit. But in terms of what we've seen, the quality and tempo of our training still being, you know, at the levels we need it to be.
And George, to finish the section, please.
Hi, Ange. You're obviously short of creative options, and last few home games in particular, you've sort of turned to the bench and brought on Valise. I wonder, has there been a temptation looking at Jamie Dunley, even though he's only 17, 18, to sort of throw him on and see what he can do? Because I guess the one thing he's shown for the under-21s is that creativity this season.
Look, he's in the squad, and you know, all these kind of decisions are made within the context of all the information I have. You know, players have an opportunity every day, you know, to show what they can do and give me food for thought in terms of selecting. So if I'm not doing it, there's a reason why I'm not doing it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't change for next week or the week after. You know, it's not just about the games they play, it's about what they do on a daily basis. But certainly Jamie's, I think he's developing. I think it's benefited him sort of training with us regularly now. He's pretty much, you know, a permanent fixture in here, and you know, within that context, I think over the next few games, you know, if he keeps developing the way he is, he'll get an opportunity in a game as well.
And you know, obviously results are important, but it feels like everyone knows you're at the beginning of this journey, which you hope to be a long-term project. Does the four defeats in five bring extra pressure, or do you have to kind of focus on the long-term job?
I guess neither on both. The pressure is the pressure, you know. It's always there. It's how you kind of treat it, and I've never let it sort of guide my path or my way forward. I mean, I just think I've got a clear idea about what I'm trying to do, and we'll keep methodically working against that and being really disciplined about that. But that doesn't mean long term, you know. For me, like I said, I don't have a 3 or 5 year plan up my sleeve that's guaranteed for success. What I do have is a plan that I think will get us to where we need to be. How long that takes, I don't know. It depends on sort of how we keep sort of, like I said, discipline in sticking the path, because ultimately, whether it's this challenge, there'll be another challenge in 6 months' time, there'll be another one. Even if you have success, there's a challenge there, you know. So it's how really focused you are and how committed you are to go on the path that you've started. And I'm unwavering with that, you know. I just will not budge in terms of, because I just think, that's what I believe is the best way forward.
And you face Eddie Howe this weekend, who was obviously in the running for the Celtic job, but before you got it, I mean, now it's a 4 defeats in 5 now, but you are a Premier League manager. Do you ever kind of had the chance to sit back and think what could have happened if he had taken the Celtic job? And you
Oh, absolutely. Sliding doors moment. But, yeah, there's probably been no bigger decision in me being here today than Eddie knocking back the Celtic job. Yeah, so I haven't thanked him. I probably should.
OK, we'll end the broadcast section there. We'll move on to the embargo for 10:30 p.m. tonight. Tom?
Andrew?